You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. 3 years into a 10-year plan to try and reduce Idaho's physician shortage by increasing residencies for newly trained doctors in our state, well, Idaho has risen from 49th in the nation for primary care doctors per capita to 45th. Here today to talk more about this is Dr. Thomas Moore. He is Dean and Chief Academic Officer of Idaho College of Osteopathic Medicine. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Gemma.
So first question, why do we have a shortage of doctors here in Idaho?
Well, I think part of it is that in order to create new doctors, you either have to attract them from other states or you have to train them yourself. Idaho has never had its own medical school until recently, although they've partnered with the University of Washington with their WAMI program over the last 50 years, and they've done a really fantastic job in helping to train both medical students and residents here in Idaho. But that's limited to 40 students per year. And there's also some students that go to University of Utah that have some state legislative support for that, about 8 to 10 students there as well. So we haven't had the pipeline coming in here, and we have a state that's growing. Some would say that we're the fastest growing state in the nation right now. Mm-hmm. So we already started with a shortage. We don't have a pipeline coming in, and then to make matters worse, about a third of our physicians in the workforce right now in Idaho are over the age of 60 and will be retiring soon. So what we really need to do is make sure that we have both a good pipeline coming in of training medical students and then keeping them here in the state for their residency or their postgraduate training.
And we know that during Governor Little's State of the State address in January, he did talk about the shortage specifically, and he does have an intent to seek legislative approval for 25 new medical residents. So Where do we stand right now with that request?
Sure. So as you said, we're about 3 years into this 10-year proposal mm-hmm. that was put together through the Idaho State Board of Education. Dr. Ted Epperly was the lead author on that and really plotted out both the concerns as far as the shortage and where we needed to go. We are, as you said, we're almost at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the number of physicians here. We're actually 49th in the nation when it comes to all physicians practicing. And when it comes to graduate medical education, residents were 46th. Sixth in the nation. The only way that we're going to be able to really make a difference there is to increase funding for postgraduate programs. And just so you understand, you have to get a four-year degree to get into medical school. You do 4 years to get out of medical school. And then you do 3 to 6 years of residency training where you are a physician and you have a training license and you're working very long hours, but you're not done yet. And it takes about $160,000 to $180,000 per year per resident to train them while they're working and seeing patients. And the statistics show that people will tend to stay within 100 miles of where they do their mm-hmm. residency program. And that's why it's important for us to grow programs here in the state of Idaho.
I do understand, too, that the 10-year plan envisions a public-private partnership where the state would pay for about a third of the cost of residency training, with hospitals and then universities and other programs paying the other two-thirds. So, in your opinion, is that a good model?
I think it is a good model. Some states pay more than that. I recently came here from a new school in Texas where they were paying up to $75,000 per resident, which is about half of what you need. Here we're a little bit less than that, but the remainder of the money can come from clinical revenues, it can come from hospitals, it can come from medical schools, but the majority of the funds actually come from federal Medicare dollars. But that's not enough. Without the state dollars that Governor Little talked about, we're not going to be able to get to the point where we're truly going to be able to train people here and expand our GME opportunities.
And Idaho has not reached that mark for state funding yet.
No, not at this point in time, although the 10-year plan has suggested a level of $60,000 per resident per year. We're not quite there yet. We're right around $40,000. I think that the 10-year plan and the legislative initiatives led by Governor Little are getting us towards that position. And I think that part of what has to – it sounds like a lot of money. I mean, that's we started at over $5 million per year in state expenditures. The plan says to go up to about $16 million. But remember that there's a strong return on investment for training physicians and keeping them here in the state. First of all, the state can't grow without a healthcare infrastructure, and we need that as we continue to grow. But beyond that, every physician brings in between 10 and 12 jobs. And studies from the Idaho Medical Association and the Idaho Hospital Association really show that the return on investment for the state, both in taxpayer dollars, infrastructure, and jobs, is quite significant.
We're talking with Dr. Thomas Moore. He's the Dean and Chief Academic Officer of the Idaho College of Osteopathic Medicine, talking about the medical residency shortage and the doctor shortage here in the state of Idaho. I find what's interesting about this as well is that we have historically not had a lot of medical residents in Boise. I mean, not in Boise, but in the state of Idaho. But with that being said, when you are in the Treasure Valley, it doesn't seem that we feel the effect of doctor shortages, of medical residency shortages, because it's happening in the rural areas of our state, correct?
Yeah, that's really true. And a large part of the problem here is that we have an access problem. We have deserts of healthcare throughout the state that, yeah, you're right, probably aren't here in the Treasure Valley or in certain areas within the state where we do have quite a few physicians. So part of what we need to do, along with our with the creation of GMU programs, is to focus on the areas of need, and that is the rural areas. And so when you look at the family medicine residency of Idaho, which Dr. Epperly leads, they have several rural training tracks where they do part of their training in a more urban area, and then the bulk of their training in more rural areas. That's the type of thing where if residents can really get ingrained and involved in a community, they're going to be much more likely to stay when they're done.
Because if we don't get those doctors into the rural areas of our state, it doesn't matter how many medical residencies we have.
Well, that's true. I mean, we are significantly short across the board on all specialties and in all areas. And you know, we're somewhere around 6 to 7 physicians per 100,000. It mm-hmm. should be around 28. So there is a real access problem. It's actually even here in the Treasure Valley. There is an access problem in certain specialties, but predominantly it is the rural areas, and we need to get people out there. We need to incentivize mm-hmm. them to do that. It's one of the reasons why at the Idaho College of Osteopathic Medicine, and we have an Idaho Rural Scholarship Program so that students that decide after they graduate and finish their residency that they want to stay in rural Idaho, we have a scholarship program that will help them to repay their loans in return for staying in those rural areas.
So my understanding when it comes to medical residencies is that when you are finished with or when you are finishing up your actual medical school, you apply for residencies, and then you basically get chosen to go to a residency program. You don't get to say, I'm going to X.
Yeah, it's actually called the match. And you interview at all of the programs that you're interested in. And right around Valentine's Day, it just happened, every program will rank their top applicants, and every applicant will rank their top programs. And coming up in just a couple of weeks around St. Patrick's Day, a computer algorithm matches them together, and that's a binding contract. So if your 15th choice was in Mississippi, and that's where you get matched, that's where you're going, whether you like it or not. But part of it is to make sure that we have quality residency programs here in Idaho where applicants or graduates will rank number one, that's where I want to go, and have them strongly trained so that the programs here in Idaho are going to say, yeah, those are the ones that we want. And the best case scenario is that we find people from Idaho that are going to stay in Idaho.
But that's not a guarantee, though. Not a guarantee.
No, there is an element of chance in all of this, but the more of a pipeline we have coming in here, the more likelihood that we will fill with the highest quality individuals through the match in those residency programs.
And isn't there a shortage of medical residencies across the board, across the nation right now?
Well, there's a real concern that there's a bottleneck, that the numbers of medical schools have grown, the number of enrollment within existing medical schools has grown, and at some point there is going to be a bottleneck. Now, that bottleneck right now is give or take a couple of hundred of American MD and DO graduates. And again, at ICOM, we graduate DOs who can practice with the same practice rights as MDs. disease. It's especially affecting physicians who are coming from outside of the country who trained in island medical schools or international medical schools. But if we don't create more residency programs, eventually that bottleneck is going to hit even for our American graduates. And that's a real concern. And funding is the key problem.
And the part of this 10-year plan that's in place here in Idaho calls for 357 medical residents. Is that enough, though? I mean, we're only 3 years into this program. And as you mentioned, I mean, we are one of the fastest growing states in the nation. People are continuing to move here. So can that number keep up with how many people are moving in?
Well, the answer is no, it's not enough, but it's a really, really good start. And I think that we have to move in the direction that the 10-year plan has defined for us and find out what opportunities are out there and available for us to expand residency training as we go. One of the biggest problems here is that the primary funding source, like I said earlier, is federal Medicare. And in a law in 1997, they decided that that they were going to cap any hospital that had done any training for any future expansion funding. And so most of the hospitals that receive that funding are now capped to expand their funding. And if that's the case, then hospitals and clinics are not going to be able to afford to have graduate medical education, even with the state funding. Now, that's going to require an act of Congress to change in D.C., and it's not going to happen anytime soon, unfortunately. But it is a real part of the problem. So we have to look and find new opportunities, new ways of funding programs, new sites that haven't hosted residency training before. And then you have to get accreditation for that. It's a 2 to 3 year process to be able to do that. So to answer your question, no, it's not enough, but we have to start somewhere. We have a really good start. We have really high quality residency programs that we have here now. We're working on starting additional ones. At ICOM, we helped to fund the startup of Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center in Idaho Falls. They've started a new internal medicine residency 2 years ago with our help. And coming this summer, they're starting a family medicine residency program with plans for maybe emergency medicine and other residency programs after that. They were not capped by that federal funds. And utilizing some of the startup funds that we worked with them on, they were able to launch these programs. We have to find more places like IRMIC that will be able to help expand GME.
I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking with us about this today. We've been talking with Dr. Thomas Moore. He is the Dean and Chief Academic Officer at the Idaho College of Osteopathic Medicine. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Gemma. Appreciate it.
I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.